This is Hades Ham Journal number 10. Hades Ham Journal is an ongoing saga of life in the tow-away zone among those who live in the sidewalk cracks of society. Freedom has been defined as the inattention of the powerful, and for the most part, they manage it. Welcome back to the home for aging mutants, where the men are creative, the women are politically correct, and the children are mostly housebroken. This episode is called Declan's Italian Massage.
Ow! Ow! Oh, jeez, I can't believe I'm holding still for this. When am I going to learn never to complain? Times like these, I look back on my entire life, and every time I decided to be the squeaky wheel in the hope of getting decently greased for a change, the wrong people are paying attention, and they come and rub chunky peanut butter all over my axle instead. See, I've still got a bit of a backache from getting hit by pieces of prematurely raised building and falling down a set of bleachers upside down or whatever it was I did. Accounts vary, and I sure don't remember. So I mentioned hoping that maybe Athena will offer to do the sweeping up for me, or that Lars, the underage Nordic hunk, will break out a bottle of warm coconut oil and some ostrich feathers and invite me into the dark room for a few hours. Ha ha! But Declan Drunk Writer says he has got this terrific Italian technique that it will fix me up in no time at all. His mother's Italian, and she taught him. He says most foreigners misunderstand the seemingly gratuitous butt-pinching that they do over there in Italy. It's not really an unwanted sexual advance, but a procedure for better health. You see, says Declan, all the nerves converge at the base of the spine, and the bad stuff the nerves carry collects in the muscles down there. That's why people always say that whatever's stressing them out is a pain in the butt. It's literally true. When the bad nerve juice builds up down there, the muscles get very tense and pull everything else out of alignment. Hence, the people with the firmest rear ends inspire others to pinch them the most, because we all have this cosmic instinct to keep each other healthy. Yeah, right. Sounds pretty good, huh? I think if Declan could ever stand a regular job, he could make mega bucks on the New Age sales market, where P.T. Barnum never dies. After all, even I fell for it. The trouble is that a lot of massage techniques are supposed to hurt while they're going on, but then they make you feel better later. God, the way this feels now, I had better feel really terrific later, or somebody's getting castor oil added to their whiskey. The part about all the nerves converging there must be true, though, or it wouldn't hurt this bad. I wonder if Raul has any spare bullets I could bite on. Still, it was really cool working on the Dust to Dust performance. Unraveling the Iron Curtain, it was called. They made this big wall of scary-looking sculptures, set it up at a construction site, and blew it up for a grandstand full of audience. I helped with the blowing up part because I just happen to know a lot about that sort of thing. But right in the middle of it, the construction crane fell over on the building, and stuff went flying everywhere, and the whole grandstand came down. Skip and Scotty and Damian, the artists, were really upset and were talking about suing the building contractor. They really hate being upstaged. I guess I got hit on the head or landed on it or something because I woke up in a hospital. I'll tell you, that was nervous-making. I used to have medical insurance and money and stuff when I built bombs for Uncle Sam, but now that I'm unemployed and technically homeless, I don't have anything resembling that. What did the doctors do, I wonder, if they fixed you up and then found out you couldn't pay? Mess you back up again and throw you out, maybe. Yeah, they take the cast off and they re-break the bone, or they shoot you up with a needle full of live viruses, or they cut you open without anesthetic and sew your appendix back in. And then, if anything else goes wrong, they won't do anything until you pay for the last time. 90% of the AMA types I ever met were slime balls. I wouldn't put it past them. I guess I got pretty paranoid. Whatever drugs they'd given me probably didn't help. And ever since I was a kid, nobody does paranoia like me anyway. It's a gift of sorts. So every time somebody came in the hospital room, I'd pretend I was still passed out, so I couldn't be able to tell them where my Visa card was anyway. I figured as soon as I felt a little better, I'd just sneak out in the middle of the night, and there's no way they could trace me. The address for Family Ham is unlisted, to say the very least, and I know I didn't have any ID on me when I came in. But they kept injecting this stuff that totally grogged me out. And by day three, I was fuzzily aware that I was going to have to change my tactics. Besides, they'd had a male nurse giving me sponge baths who was very good at it, and I wanted to look at him. "Here she is, Mr. Cartwright," a nurse was saying. "But she's still unconscious, as you can see. I don't know what good this is going to do. We haven't been able to bring her around yet."
"Yo, Miss Thing," said a familiar voice. It was C.M. Cartwright, the backer for the show. How did he know I was here?
"All your friends are okay and are waiting for you. You saved a bunch of spectator tinies from certain destruction and me from a bunch of lawsuits. So if I'm going to keep paying this kind of money for you to lie there like unwashed rutabaga, I think I'd rather move you over to a suite in the Empire Tower where they've got some decent interior design. Now, wake up and have a cookie. Cheers is almost on."
He was paying? Wow. I didn't have to worry about it after all.
Some people with money really are decent. But I guess I already knew that about CM. Of course, he's not completely all there, which is probably why. I opened my eyes, but they weren't working all that well, probably from lack of practice or possibly the drugs. "Hi," was all I could manage to say. I started to cry. I always do that when I've given up hope that anyone will ever be nice to me again. And then, all of a sudden, somebody is nice to me. Last time it happened, I was coming back from a truly horrible 3-week business trip to the Middle East where everything went wrong. On top of it being the Middle East to begin with, a stewardess smiled at me and offered me a snack and a blanket. I took it, and 2 seconds later, I just fell apart. It was lucky I was the only one in the aisle, or it really would have been embarrassing. So you see why I feel like I have to keep an eye on CM's sister, Colby, although I'm sure she'd be ticked if she knew about it. Colby is 22, good-looking, well-dressed, sweet, and at least seemed reasonably intelligent. But CM says she's going through some sort of rebellion process, and he can't tell her anything. She came to the Dust to Dust show and fell in love with Skip, who may be some kind of artistic prodigy, but is still a jerk. I managed to work with him, but he makes my skin crawl, and Colby will eat anything he wants. He keeps telling her he wants to transform her into a living work of art, which sounds like a line of crap if I ever heard one. This morning, they headed off to the back of the warehouse with a bag of ice and a bottle of rubbing alcohol and what looked like a paper punch. "Ow! Declan, you gotta pinch that hard. My butt's gonna be black and blue if it isn't already."
"Nah, that's good," Declan says. "If it bruises, that means you really needed to have it done. The toxins were tied in so tight, the blood vessels have to break to wash them out."
"Oh, she must have needed it pretty bad." "Oh no, that's Lars. How humiliating. Just look at all that purple. I'm gonna go load up some color film and take some shots of this. Maybe I'll do a series as it turns all different colors later." "Oh, great. There he goes. I can't stand this."
"Now quit squirming," says Declan. "I won't be able to hit the pressure points right."
"Well, you might have to tie her down," comes Skip's voice from behind me. "That's what I had to do. Women have so little patience with pain, even if it's for their own good."
"That bastard, what's he up to now?"
"I tried, Skip," says Colby, quavering a little. "I was pretty good for most of it, wasn't I?"
"Wonderful cheesecake," he says. "We'll wait a couple days before we do the rest. Let you think about it for a while. Psych yourself up for the experience. Hey, Lars, bring the video while you're at it, too. I want Colby's decorations recorded as they evolve."
"Ow, Declan, are you soon done? It feels like it's been an hour."
"Nobody appreciates my healing skills."
"Oh, well." He gives me one last painful swat dead on center.
"Time for a drink."
Maybe this is relaxation. I sort of want to move, but not really. There's Colby wrapped up in a drop cloth. Her face is red, and she's got tear tracks down her cheeks. and lines of strain at the corners of her mouth. She's also got loops of what looks like alcohol-soaked picture-hanging wire run through various new holes in her skin. 6 in each ear through folds of the upper cartilage, 2 per nostril. And he's not done yet. God.
Well, how do I look?
Like you'll have to change your name from Colby to Swiss. It's very interesting. Is it what you want, really?
Yes, I'll be unique. I might even be famous. It hurts a bit, but sometimes we have to suffer to get out of a rut. After all, look what you just did. Is your aura back in tune now?
Well, yeah, I imagine so, but I think I'd rather be able to sit down.
Oh, I can't sit down either. It is sort of an inconvenience.
You can't? What? Run that by me again?
Well, ears and noses aren't the only things you can pierce, you know.
If I had eaten anything today, I would surely be sick. As it is, I hope Declan hasn't finished all the whiskey. If we all get loaded now, maybe it'll turn out to have just been a weird dream. Next time, Daryl does disco. We'll be there, unless they find out.